Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Welcome to Dial Tuesday's Human Ascension Within the Tree of Life. And this week, we're going to get into the third sphere on the Tree of Life called Binah, which means understanding. As with all shows, man, if you have not by now, just simply pull up a separate window on your internet browser and just go to Google Images and get an image of the Tree of Life in Kabbalah. So you can actually just type in Kabbalah Tree of Life, and the image of the tree will pop up. The tree itself is nothing more than a cosmic representation of the universe, or where we at right now in our so-called real reality. All right, so pull that up. All right. As you do that, man, definitely visit the website myastrologycoach.com. It is the mother site, of course. Our next event that's taking place is the summer solstice event in the beautiful Mount Shasta of California. We'll be in San Francisco, Oakland area for this summer trip, so it's going to be off the chain. I often tell people a lot, you know, Google image Mount Shasta and just read up on it, and you'll hear some very, very mystical stories, a lot of transpersonal spiritual experiences that people encounter when they go to Mount Shasta, okay? Mysterious clouds over the mountains, and it's just a beautiful place. I've personally been there. So we're going to be there, man. It's going to be off the chain. So definitely join us for the summer solstice, Mount Shasta. All right. Also, if you go to the website, myastrologycoach.com, click on the you'll also see something else on the events tab. After that, in July, July 11th, we actually be in Atlanta. Myself, Prime Minister, Minister Jew, we'll be releasing our first co-authored book together called Spiritual Wisdom for the 21st Century. So it's a book release slash book signing and workshop. You actually get the book free when you come to the workshop and whatnot. So this is going to be in Atlanta. You can go again, myastrologycoach.com, go to the events tab, and you see the information that's there. So we have discussed the book, of course, Twin Flames, Soulmates, and, you know, a lot of stuff that we covered in the book, light, how light interacts with the human psychology, the intelligence of light itself and whatnot. We have our spiritual technology available, of course. We've got heart software that shows you how to bring your heart rate into a coherent state with your brain. You got to learn how to send the correct signal from the heart to your brain. Very important. And then the brain receives that information and sends that information throughout the body, all right? So we have heart technology available, or chakra technology be available that I had probably with that over the years. Very cool technology, man, that allows you to see the color of the aura, the energy field that's around you, that's emitting from your soul. Each color has a different meaning. Your yin-yang energy inside of your body, very important to understand that if that's in balance, your stress to relaxation level, if that's in balance, and the three areas of life, more physical, spiritual, and mental, to see what your balance is in those arenas as well. All right, so definitely come through. Now, that following Sunday, the next day on 7/12, we're actually going up to Stone Mountain for the Stump Off. The Stump Off is going to be very, very, very interesting. Very interesting. So if you've been following our work, or if you're new to the work, then we have this ability that when we gather collectively and all have a collective intent, as Minister Jew would say, when we gather our thoughts collectively, we create a laser. And we send that thought out. And every single year, it never fails, every single year, there is some grand event that happens in the world to mirror the thoughts that you sent out into the universe, all right, every single time. You have to know the law of correspondence. If you're not familiar with a book, little book, it's a free PDF online right now. It's called The Kabbalion, not The Kabbalah, The Kabbalion, all right? It's like K-Y-B-A-L-L-I-O-N by the Three Initiates. It's free. It's a free PDF. You can find it and download it. They go in depth about the seven universal laws, all being mental is first. The universe is this mental component. God is a mind. God is a thought, right? And the second law is very, very, very very important because it is the law of correspondence, which is perhaps the best, one of the more favorable laws, because correspondence actually proves that the mind is real. So in other words, you know, if you, the cliche term is as above, so below, as above. You have to be able to prove your work, all right? So the correspondence shows that. So if you're skilled in the law of correspondence, you'll be able to see your thoughts, your prayer, your meditation, and those things manifest back in this reality. But you have to sometimes look outside of yourself and understand that it comes by the way of a messenger through other people. So you can't clap by yourself. You know what I mean? Even if you said, listen, I want this book, I want this book, I want this book. And you can still got to go to the store. You got to buy the book. If you go online, you got to purchase the book. Somebody got to pack the book. Somebody got to put it in the box. Somebody got to scan it to go out. Somebody going to scan it when they receive it. And they're going to scan it when they deliver it to you. It takes different people in the process to bring about the things that you want, period. Everything that you want, 9 times out of 10, there is somebody on the other side that's going to sell it to you, okay? Which means other people are involved. And whoever sent it to you 9 times out of 10 did not necessarily make it, okay? So everybody's related to the process of your manifestation. I'm saying that to say that when you see it from a more spiritual context, when you're up on a mountain or whatever the case may be, you pray and you see an event that's totally outside of you, but it, when you look at it, it mirrors exactly what you was thinking about or what the group was thinking about. Then you have to know that that's a part of the process, okay? Irregardless that it didn't come directly to you. It came to you by the way of your senses, but you have to be able to use the law of correspondence to be able to see it, okay? So 7-Eleven stump off, actually happens on 7-12 in July. So, man, be there. Come to Atlanta for the book release, the book signing, and you get the book free for the workshop and whatnot. And like I said, that Sunday we get up and we go to Stone Mountain. Now, it's a fact, Jack, that Stone Mountain is very interesting because it is, when you see it and you approach it, you're like, why is this right here? Nothing else around here. There's no other mountain around it. It's not a whole chain of mountains right there. It's like, what is this? Now, I said years ago, and I mean it, that Stone Mountain is the AllSpark in Transformers that fell and hit the earth. The Decepticons, who are looking for this AllSpark, this cube of life, the Decepticons called the KKK, all right, evil thought forms, people who will go to the extent of killing another group of people based off of nationality, race, color, creed, whatever we want to call it. They organize themselves on Stone Mountain to become the, when they officially became a group, okay? Back, I want to try to pull it up real fast. There's actually a video on YouTube. If you type it in, you will see that they're getting out the cars and they're about to go do everything. So they did the official inauguration, okay, on Stone Mountain. Went to the top of the mountain, got in the circle. They went ahead and burned a cross and they got it in. In fact, if you just Google image KKK Stone Mountain, you can actually see the popular flyer that was circulating back in those times. And I think it says November 25th, 1915, if I'm not mistaken. But this one here is the one I'm looking at. It's a little small. But that's a fact. And then later in life, what they would do is the Confederate Army was led November 25th, 1915. The Confederate Army at that time was led by General Lee. And you used to watch Dukes of Hazzard, and they'd be talking about the car was General Lee. It was after, named after General Robert Lee, who was the general of the Confederate Army. So they took General Robert Lee and statesmen like Stonewall Jackson and another character, and they engraved these people faces in the mountain, okay, where the KKK did their inauguration. So literally, Stone Mountain has a history of being the spiritual mountain for racism, okay? We just want to connect the dots here. It's very important to understand this because in your spiritual aspect of books, the Bibles, and Qurans and things, you know that mountains are something that has always been synonymous with spirituality, right? So even when you look at the names, the positions of these, in the KKK, it's like imperial wizard. A wizard is someone who knows magic. A wizard is someone who understands how to command elements and to do things, whether it's over a pot of boiling water or reciting certain things or incense going. All it is, and we'd be so scared of this stuff. I don't understand why, because you do this every single day. You got to breathe air. You got to use heat up your food and heat up your body and things of that nature. Stop being so spooky. Only thing you're doing is taking a natural element of nature, and you're concentrating your intent with something that's in nature, so you can have more of a pure resonance with it, more of an amplification. And then, boom, you let the thought go. Now, all of this really becomes a matter of who has the strongest will, or who has the strongest imagination. Because anytime you're going to tell me that somebody can sit back and do voodoo on you and look at your picture and light candles, and you don't like taking pictures because they're trying to do something, only thing they're doing is physically thinking something negative against you, right? That's all they're doing, because they ain't physically coming to do the act to you themselves. Whatever it is that they're envisioning in their mind, they're physically projecting a thought. Now, somehow that thought becomes your reality, and you don't want it to be your reality. Then it becomes a matter that, hey, this person's thought was so strong that it became your physical reality. So then it really becomes a matter of who has the strongest thoughts down here. This is what this is about. This ain't necessarily about physical people, because the thoughts would take on the form of physical people, and it switch it up on you, and you won't know, and you would think you would get caught up on the physical surface of, oh, that white person is evil, but this was actually the white person who was a part of the abolition society, or part of the Society of Friends known as the Quakers, who are the Rosicrucians, who are really the secret the gatekeepers of ancient Egyptian ceremonial aspect information. But these are the people who actually was on the Underground Railroad, who went against the status quo and put a candle in their window and told you that it was okay for you as a slave to get here as you travel north following the North Star. So you get caught up on surface, and then the black person who you think is really an advocate or someone that's on your side of the equation is the one that later comes to Malcolm X and say, get your hand out my pocket, nigga, and creates a distraction while the other one that looks just like you shoots him and kills him, okay? So you gotta get to a point where you gotta learn how to understand spirit, and understand spirit, you gotta be able to understand thought. Okay? So let me rewind to some here. So Stone Mountain has wizards in the sense that they have, KKK has imperial wizards. They have something called the Exaltic Cyclops, which is a being. We know Cyclops is this one eyed being with his eye in the middle of his forehead. So they got some really interesting titles, knights and things of that nature. Real interesting titles. To pretty much materialize the concept of what they represent. All right, but it's real funny too, because I saw something surface that they're now taking membership. PKK is actually taking membership of black folks and whatnot, and different so-called races of people as well. Which is interesting how spirit works, but anyway, it's a whole other thing. So anyway, my point is with the Snow Mountain Stump Off, there's a fact that on a record that there is a Neolithic thought form that exists. Now, that's a fact. You can go look it up yourself, you see it. Now, a special group of people back in 2013 for the spring equinox, where the sun and earth had, when the earth has the same amount of light that it does darkness, when you come into a point of balance and justice, a special group of people went up the mountain. And when they went up the mountain on the equinox, they were greeted with intense fog. Now, fog has always been synonymous with thoughts. You're cloudy, my judgment. My thoughts were a little foggy. Okay? So clouds have always been synonymous with thoughts. Thoughts, we know from the nature point of view, thoughts represent an element of air, because what I'm thinking in my mind, I can express through words like I'm doing right now. This sound is traveling on air, and you're able to hear me via sound waves in your ear right now. Okay? So thoughts are air. So when we get there, a special group of people, we get there, we're greeted by intense fog on the mountain. So at that time, myself and Minister Ju perform an ancient banishing rite to remove and make the cloud or the fog dissipate and disappear. Perform a certain rite, and then afterwards, the cloud and the fog dissipated. It was gone. And if you go to the website, myastrologycoach.com, click on the events. This is very, very important. You click on the events, go to seminars, or you can go to workshops, and you see the 7-Eleven Stump Off. Click on that particular item. Scroll down, read the story, because as I just said, it's there. But most importantly, I want you to look at the picture. It's the after and before. Put the after at the top. The before don't go at the top. We the king. We crown. We are at the top. So you see the after, how clear it was, and then you see all the fog when we first got there. Now, this is a fact. I just want to walk you through some chain of events real fast, because this has everything to do with the spirit we're dealing with, Bina, Saturn. Saturn is the ruler of government, and it could be an old repressive type of government that refuses Saturn's energy. Whatever it is when you were born is an aspect of your consciousness at times that refuses to let go. That's not Saturn's nature to let go. Okay? So it has everything to do with what we're going to get into today. So March, the clouds dissipate, bam. April the 7th, come around. Minister Ju gets everybody on the phone who was there to talk about this. So it's April the 7th. 2 hours later, an earthquake goes off in Lincolnton, Georgia. Lincoln is the one who freed you. Although Lincolnton, Georgia is not named after Abe Lincoln, but when you hear Abe, when you hear anything Lincoln, you're really thinking two things, the car and the president, which is interesting in itself because, again, here's a guy, when you look at Abe Lincoln, you know, goodwill, he wasn't white. But anyway, if you want to put him on that side, that's even better for the psychology of spirit. Because it made some, it took one of them to have a thought form to go totally against the status quo and start to go off to war, all right, called the Civil War. Now, anyway, earthquake goes off to alert your consciousness in Lincolnton, Georgia, which is right on the same parallel as Snow Mountain, which is 33 degrees north of the equator. Now, I always keep telling you this, that spirit will always come back and tell you something through the form of your cultural experience. Why is Tupac's memorial at Snow Mountain when the man ain't born in Georgia? But his memorial is in Snow Mountain. Okay? Now, Tupac is the one that is known for the Illuminati, Kill Illuminati. We already know he's named after Inca King, which is another spirit in itself. But most importantly, a lot of people forget, remember, Tupac was exonerated. They didn't even pull it, even press the charges on him all the way. Remember that when he was in Atlanta, it was two off-duty cops who had pulled out a gun for something, arguing something, and Tupac shot at him. I remember that story. And he didn't get into what we would perceive to be trouble when he bust shots at two off-duty cops who were out of pocket in Atlanta. And then now Spirit World will put his memorial right there on in that same city where the mountain is, Stone Mountain. Because that's Spirit World's way of showing you how to or where to make your spiritual move. Okay? So April 7th, earthquake go off. And then later that month on the 30th, and you can look this up too, you can put Stone Mountain petition, a petition surface where somebody got the idea, wonder where he got it from, a month later after we leave the place. It says, you know what? I am tired of looking at these faces on Stone Mountain. News get involved and says, you know, I think it's racist. I think that it just supports old racism. And we need X amount of signatures to take it to the state so they consider removing the faces. Now, it ain't get no juice like that, and it didn't happen, and it probably won't happen. But that's not important. What's important is the symbolism of the chain of events of why it came out, when it came out, to get you to understand a bit of principle. So, the petition surfaces that late April of 2013. The very next year, March the 1st, which is almost around, you know, we're about, what, 20-something days away from the equinox, which a year prior in March of 2013 is when the clouds was there and you got the proof that you made the clouds poof, poof, be gone. A year later, March 2014, the KKK had a rally in Atlanta. Now, Atlanta's not far from Stone Mountain, but they have their own public rally at the State House and whatnot. And the truth of the matter is their ancestors, the old evil malefic thought form, gave them the idea to go back around the same time frame a year later to reassert the energy that was banished from the mountains. I'm just going to make it simple. That was March 2014. Google everything I'm telling you. Well, you're yet to make a move. This is chess. They made a move. What you going to do? What you going to do is you're going to participate in the 7-Eleven dump off, which is interesting because the whole 7-Eleven has a very, very interesting concept in the world. Through world history, through the Moors conquering Spain. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you how deep this is with Stone Mountain, is because in this whole area, is because in 7-Eleven, when the Moors go up into Spain and start and conquer and almost rule for 800 years, when the Barbary Wars jumped off, which was the United States going to war in the early 1800s. Now, mind you, the country just became an official country in 1776. In 1800s, 01, 02, 03, and 04, they're going to war with North African countries called the Barbary States, Morocco wasn't in it, Algiers, Tunis. It's a war that's popping off. And at that time, one of the United States' most successful fighters was Stephen Decatur, as in Decatur, Georgia. And there's a famous picture of Decatur being depicted as taking like a Dillinger pistol and shooting an African guy on a boat on the Barbary Wars. All right? And it's interesting because that time the Moors had captured the USS Philadelphia, and Decatur led a regime where it's like, bump that, y'all ain't just taking our boat, and we gonna burn it. They gotta look at what's going on in warfare. So really, when, you know, in hood terms, when niggas like, I'm from Decatur and they represent Decatur, you actually representing a white man who went to war against your bloodline. But again, I understand spirit, because everybody who look like you and got your same blood really ain't of you in the spirit. So It's just an interesting thing that's going on. This is chess, and it's something that's been going back and forth for a very long time, and it's coming from the world, the realm of principalities. It's coming from the realm of thought. It ain't about you going to go find the KKK and chain them up and kill them. It ain't even about that. You ain't even got to do that. Only thing you got to do is believe in the Most High God and go to a spiritual place with the right intent and call upon that God. And if God is there and God loves you, then God should respond. And now we got to get into that particular realm because we don't believe that God is real, because we would have been called on God collectively. We're afraid to see what that looks like because, to a degree, a lot of us are atheists. With no disrespect to any atheists, but whatever the process is, you know, we don't call on that collective force. So be there, Stone Mountain, and you'll stump off because you have to make a move next in the global chessboard as a soldier for the Most High. All right. This is the website, of course, myastrologycoach.com, and the Moon Club is there under the membership tab where we get together on the full moon, and we get together and we just do collective prayer, meditation, positive affirmations in accordance to the universal theme of where the moon is. Phenomenal, phenomenal time. It's just a great way to balance your energy and show respect to where you at in the cosmos, floating in space. And most importantly, I can't say it enough, to balance yourself. Balance is very key in this reality. Also, visit Casilda's Crystal Corner for all of your spiritual items, whether it be candles, also some bath and body products over there as well. So you'll see that on the website, and you'll see Star Fusion's bath and body product, which is two lines over there. The Star Fusion's line is very, 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 it's the best stuff in the world. Seriously, you probably should wash it up with. And this stuff is awesome. It is all that. So check that out. And of course, man, I can't wait till the minister to finish something up, man. He got something for y'all, but I'll let him tell it, you know. But definitely the Mystic Brain Workbook. And again, man, mark down 7-Eleven because that's where we're going to be in Atlanta. And that's a Saturday. That is a Saturday. So stay by the email. If you ain't joined the email list, join the email list on myastrologycoach.com on the front page. Just scroll down, enter your email, and we get that information out to you because that flyer be ready, I believe, it's today, too. They'll be ready on Thursday, and we're going to send that out, the information about the workshop, the location, and everything. All right? It's already on the workshop. It's already on the website with the 7-Eleven, but this one has more emphasis on the book that's actually coming out. So join us. All right? So let's get started, man. In a Tree of Life, last week we was in Kethet. We was in Spirit number 4. Let's walk through it real fast from the bottom. We're going to start from the bottom, but we're actually taking it from the top. But we're starting at the bottom when you're looking at this diagram. So at the bottom is called Malku, which simply translates to the kingdom. This is the earth. This is where you're at in the scheme of things. Now, you can look at it as a 2D plane and its energy going down and up and whatnot, but it's really something that you need to turn in a horizontal way, like you're holding it in the palm of your hand, and understand that this is the solar system, and these spheres that you see are actually planets revolving around the sun and also revolving around you and you around them as well. So it's really a cosmic diagram of where you're at. So in Malkuth, which means the kingdom, the whole goal here is to understand that everything goes in this reality. This is the realm of the ultimate illusion. It's the place where it looks like the sun rises in the east and it sets in the west, and it does absolutely no such thing. It's always approximately 93 million miles away from you and, you know, in front of you at all times. But at high noon, it looks like it's above your head. It's up in the sky over your head. But when you look at a diagram of the solar system, you know good and well that it is millions and millions of miles in front of you. So how can something that's in front of you look like it's actually over your head? This is the realm of the ultimate illusion down here. This is the realm where you you activate your senses, but you cannot totally rely on your senses. They will trick the hell out of you because, again, if you're going to think that the sun rises and sets, you are gravely mistaken. It does not. Okay, so in this realm, this is the realm of ultimate illusion. This is the realm of duality. This is the realm of male, female, up, down, black, white, God and the devil, And it tricks you into thinking that there is just, let's just call it duality, when everything really is an aspect of oneness. Okay, that's the trick. We have to understand that the car battery, who has a positive terminal and negative terminal, God chose to exist as force or energy in between these two poles. And it's not about the pole. The battery ain't saying, hey, I got two batteries or I got two sides. The battery is the battery. Okay, and you have to hurry up and understand that concept and grasp that oneness, or what we call in the Tao Wu Qi, the original source of nothingness that is everything, all right? So life is about understanding the oxymoron, all right? In spirit number nine, you had to understand emotions. Very important here, you had to go into the limbic brain, but this is where you get your emotional foundation and learn how to become located. You just got to locate it right here, analyze it, know where it is, know the functions. Spirit number eight is when you develop intellect. The intellect allows you to properly eradicate the emotions. So we look at the human brain, we're now talking about what's called the frontal lobes, right behind your forehead, the conscious thinking self. The conscious thinking self goes down and says to the limbic brain, listen, I know all about you. I know who turns what on. And since I'm conscious of that, only thing I have to do is just wait for an experience to happen. And I can make a decision consciously. And based off my decision, I see it as good or I see it as bad. That conscious decision regulates what the limbic brain is going to turn on as far as chemicals. So when I see it as good, the limbic brain says, oh, this is good. Smile. Be happy. Release endorphins, release oxytocin. You're feeling love. This is great. That's all based off a conscious choice. You see what I'm saying? So spirit number eight, you had to become intelligent, but not so intelligent that you didn't know that there's a God, because you can get that smart like a scientist and be like, oh, there is no God, but you cannot understand the aspect of quantum physics or the aspect of what Einstein called spooky action at a distance. You got so smart, you got stupid all of a sudden. So here we got into intellectual spirit and identifying original spirit. Once you become the master of your emotions, you know the illusion, you understand that you are in the frontal lobe, in the conscious process, we then move to spirit number seven, Nizak, which is victory, Venus, relationships. You move into this man, and this is now you're ready to merge with somebody else. You see, because Venus rules relationships. So in order for you to wake up and go up the ascension process or go within the ascension process, because there is no up and down in your reality, you're spinning in and out. So to go within the conscious process, you have to be very, very alert and smart and to be inside of a relationship. Because as soon as you get here, you know, we're talking about two personalities just popping off. And two personalities, the two people come together like a mom and a father would, and they produce a child, and it's called a relationship. The relationship becomes an entity. All right? So here we understand that we have to be obviously conscious from the previous experience. We know this is the point where we come together. And now the next phase of us coming together, everything from this point forward, really addressed it from the aspect of a relationship. Now, it's all individual processes. But the spirit number seven is a planetary energy that governs your union. So the next phase is you have to go into the light. Relationships need to understand the principles of light. We're going to give a banging demonstration on this in Atlanta. All right? You have to understand light, how light has an effect on the human psychology. You know that just based off seasons. Oh, it's cold outside. I don't like the snow. I can't do nothing with the snow. And people get sad, called seasonal affective disorder. See, that's now a disease, technically. You know what I'm saying? You can go get medicine for that now. You know what I mean? Because it affects you. Don't you, man, listen, if that big old bear and everything in nature, the leaves and trees and everything start growing extra fur and all of the flies disappear somehow and go sit somewhere and they don't come out till it get warm, don't you for one second think that you're not affected by nature. You need to cut that out. All right? So we have the relationship has to understand light, intelligence, the spirit number six, and spirit number five. This is a sphere for the gangster, but it's on the high side. It's really talking about once you understand light, now you can infuse this inside of your sexual act of passion. Okay? That's what this was about. But now the passion travels up to where we was up last week with spirit number four. How do you expand your consciousness through the sexual act? It becomes important. All right, this is number four, where we was at last week, deals with righteousness. All right, which is this is a great force as well to be able to physically do some things to institute justice down here as well. And now where we're at in spirit number three, we're going to a point where we're going to understand the duality, because each energy center has a duality, or so it appears. And that's what I'm saying. Like, it can look like a duality in one, but it's still one planet. So, you know, it's all based off your perception, or what the beautiful movie Vantage Point pointed out in this whole theme of the movie, was you can see the scenario a thousand different ways. So, Binah understanding is Saturn in the sky, which is said to be the Lord of the Lords. The Lord of the Lords, or the God of the time, in all actuality, is simply the God of the time. No God or force rules forever solely. They will all take turns. They will rotate. Okay? So, in the mythology, it was Jupiter who overthrew Saturn. The Olympians went to war and overthrew the Titans. Okay? So Saturn represents, again, the old order. Now, in your birth chart, it's very important because it's really just an aspect of your own consciousness. See, here on this planet, Earth, tonight when the sun sets, as soon as it goes down, you're going to see a bright star on the western horizon. That is Venus. If you come a little bit up, like you come in towards the south, you're going to see Jupiter. So you can see these planets, but they're so far away that the light that's reflecting off of them, because in order for you to see light, it has to be reflecting. The light that's reflecting off of them, it makes it appear to look like a star, but it's really a planet. But you see how it looks so little. It is just a miniature aspect of a dot in your awareness compared to how you see it. And understand that it's just a minute force of your consciousness, sort of like a cell in your body. It's just a cosmic cell outside of yourself that resonates to something inside of you. So your intent actually has, and I know people don't like this, but your intent has dominion over the force. And maybe I shouldn't say dominion. Your intent yields the result of what the force is. The force is just the force. How you choose to tap the force is totally upon your intent. So the result is what you go for. So you want to cook this thing at 500 degrees and burn it, or do you want to slow cook it at 200? It's totally up to you. So when we look at this from the astrological perspective, Saturn rules Capricorn. This is government. Oftentimes, it's your father in your life. Or it can be symbolized by a mother, an older woman. And this is a place that deals with what we call karma and life lessons and hardships, right? That's the lesser side of it. The greater side of it is hard work, dedication, and success. Now, I'm going to show you what's a matter of your God choice consciousness in this reality. See, on a lower frequency, everybody heard about the Saturn return. Around 28 to 30 years old is when Saturn comes back to the same position in space where it was when you were born. So if we use a wall clock analogy and we say you were born with Saturn at 12 o'clock, well, in 28 to 30 years, Saturn will come back to be exactly at 12 o'clock. It's called a Saturn return. And if you have not been making the right decisions in life and being responsible and being grown and focused on success, then a chain of events by the way of your lack of making the what we would call the correct decisions as far as being successful and responsible, a set of circumstances will start to unfold in your life, and it's called stress. My mama kicked me out because I'm 30 years old and I ain't got a job and I'm playing video games all day. And I got a baby mama. It's called a chain of events start to occur to force you to grow up. Are you in a relationship that's just not really for you, and at 30 was a real horrible breakup, and then all of a sudden, you know, but you needed that because it started a new beginning. So Saturn also has this low-key little Plutonian feel, because it breaks away what is not needed. So when you get rid of something, then that means, okay, there's a new status of my life coming in. I no longer have that. That's new now. You see what I'm saying? So a low-key has this Plutonian feel to it. But here's the higher frequency. If you've been working hard and really on your grind and you've been focused and you're not acting like a little kid still, like you were in your 20s, you're about to be 30 years old, for God's sake, now. You're focused on life. And now what's going to happen is events is going to start to unfold to help you further your success. This is Oprah Winfrey. This is Jay-Z. This is Baby. I've studied them. They made great contracts and millions of dollars at 28 to 30 years old on their Saturn return. Now, I want to use Jay-Z as an example because you know that he just launched a business endeavor called Tidal, which is a music streaming business. And Jay-Z is a Sagittarius, right? And Saturn in the sky right now is in Sagittarius. And Jay-Z also has Venus, which is the planet that deals with money and relationships, at like 0-1 degrees Sagittarius, I mean very early Sag, and that's exactly where Saturn is in the sky. So when you're thinking money and you want to expand, Saturn's natural energy is really restriction and no expansion. So on a mundane level, you'd be like, I don't necessarily know about this because Saturn represents a slowing down process. But again, the high side of it is it's about grinding and putting this work in, and you will be paid. So I've watched this guy on two different occasions make power moves when the planet of Saturn, Bina, understanding your life lessons between hard work and karma and stuff, I watched him make power moves when this planet was not necessarily traditionally on a more mundane level in the best position. But again, it is in the best position because he's working hard. So he's in the God force, thus his name is Jay-Z. So now Spirit World is showing you how to navigate through planets using the God force, literally mind over matter in this particular case. All right. So you can see Saturn in your birth chart. You really want to pull it out and look at the wheel. How do you do that? Well, you just simply... you got to tell people, create an account with astro.com because it's free. But I like the color coding system over there. And it's just, and everything is just clear, you know. And you look at Saturn's location. And it tells you, based off constellation, it tells you, you know, what area of life you need to work in, especially if you want to get more time sensitive in the sense of looking at the houses. You can do that, and you go through these houses, and you start to understand where it has an effect on your consciousness at. All right? So I kind of want to go through the wheel, but I'll save it. I won't do it at this particular time. I want to deal more with the universal aspect of what's taking place here. So we have to, you know, we left the realm of relationships. The relationships now can either, A, constrict, because you just expanded your consciousness. So now you can either go to an aspect of restriction or constriction, which is a swelling or a smalling, a slowing down in a sense. And that's not necessarily a bad thing because everything has to be, look at it like the lungs. When the lungs inflate, they deflate. inflation ain't tripping. Like, hey, why you went down? You know, it's just a process of balance. You see what I'm saying? So, I mean, this particular sphere, this is definitely the sphere to grow up, because now, technically speaking, and this is really real, two things have happened. On the tree of life, you have just now entered the realm of Azaluth. You just now came up to what we call this, the primordial mother. It's right here. Next week is the primordial father. We are out. We're just now starting to get to an understanding how physical life is coming into form right here. All right. And from the solar system perspective, within human consciousness, you have to get past Saturn before you get inside of this spiritual aspect of Uranus, right? Which is intuition and insight and geniusness, and you can be an inventor, and it's the highest expression of your genius mind is Uranus. And then Neptune, for God's sakes, we know is spiritual clarity and visions that come from a whole nother world. You can see this reality. You can see something happening in this reality before it physically happened. That's Neptune. Pluto, intense transformation of consciousness, that something about you or when it's energy, if you exude this energy, you can have the ability to help someone physically, I mean physically, transform their lives. This is when Pluto's energy is when you can take, it can take a depressed alcoholic, somebody that's on severe, 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 just skid row, and next thing you know, they are a successful counselor, a successful preacher, or something like that. It's like, whoa, what happened? This person went through a very deep, intense transformation on two different scales of reality. Well, these are all, anything after Saturn becomes really psycho-spiritual concepts inside of the human being. So everything before Saturn, because remember, Saturn returns at 30 years old. So usually what happens in our reality, especially in this culture, you're not even thinking about the cultivation of your soul before 30 years old. You ain't thinking about that as a teenager. You ain't thinking about it as an adolescent. You're not thinking about it as in your 20s. You know what I'm saying? You're not thinking about the cultivation of your soul. Usually you have to grow up and become an adult and have to have underwent certain experience before you truly start to understand that concept. You know what I mean? Having your own place. Or your big old ass is too big to be staying with other people all the time, and now that's frustrating, and you're on soul searching, and that's cool, because now here come that. That's one way or other, your consciousness is going to propel you to get to your soul's height, and that's what Saturn does. So when we look at all the planets before Saturn, and we start with the Sun, it becomes your personality. When you deal with the Moon, it becomes your emotions and your intuitions and women. Sun represents men. Mercury is how you communicate and how you think, and then Venus is your concept of finances and your concepts of relationships. And then you move over to Mars, and that's your outgoing yang energy and your sexual passion and how you just get up and just conquer the world every day. That's your expression of life, basically. Jupiter is, okay, I'm just now starting to get into religion and starting to expand my consciousness. So it's interesting, because with Sagittarius, which Jupiter rules, this is the world of philosophy. So we start to just now get into opening the books and exploring some things. But it's funny that they call this philosophy and religion and not necessarily spirituality, and dang sure not the frequency of what Neptune brings, which is the clairvoyant, transcendent consciousness that will allow you to be able to see inside of different dimensions accurately. Accurately. You know what I'm saying? Now, interesting, because in ancient times, Jupiter ruled Pisces, because they understood that when Jupiter was in Pisces, its energy was coming out, but it's not necessarily Jupiter that gives you that particular insight. So then comes Saturn, you know what I'm saying? It says, all right, it's time to grow up. So as we get beyond these particular points, Saturn serves as the gateway to the higher dimensions. So in your reality, you know that you only have 7 days of the week, and then Sabbath is the holy day. The day is Saturn. So in the correct tradition, and we look at more of the Jewish tradition in which the New Testament is really predicated upon, then you know that the Sabbath starts on Friday evening is the beginning, and it ends on Saturday evening. So technically Saturday, the day of Saturn, is the Sabbath, okay? It's when everything becomes in this particular reality. Understanding the process of light and colors, frequencies of that nature. So here again, really the main lesson is to start to really seek what Bina means, understanding. But understanding what? Well, to a more of a personal extent, then I need to understand my own set of life lessons that I chose to experience and will choose to experience. Everything is a lesson for the learning mind. I tell people this all the time. We go through these experiences really to seek understanding. I can't really make it no plainer than that. Because what's going on in the brain is, you know, if I go to the water hole, I'm drinking me some water, and then I see a lion come and chase the hell out of everybody and rerun, and I make it. Every time I go to the water hole as the gazelle, I got to put my head up and scan the area because I know that a lion is going to come, but I'm thirsty. I got to have something to drink. So I need the experience of the lion coming because the lion is going to teach me how to survive. Now, I don't want them to come in a sense, but I mean, he's part of the environment. So now since I successfully got away, I know now when I go to the water hole, I must pick up my head every now and then and look around because if I don't, I won't get away. So the experiences that we have in our reality, the accidents, the bad relationships, all this life lessons and what appears to be karma, our life lessons to get us to understand how to successfully get out of that situation if you were to ever be in it again. Now, this doesn't mean that you go back into the same situation. Certain things you got to have. With the lion and the gazelle, you got to have water. So, okay, yeah, he goes back into the situation. But notice this. There's a book called Zebras Don't Have Ulcers. And I looked at that, and me and Drew was talking about that. He sent it to me, and I had seen it before. I was like, you know what? You mean to tell me a zebra who every, like, the leopard at night is going to get it. It can't cross the water because the crocodile is going to get it. The lion is looking for it, and the hyenas is looking for it, and the cheetahs is looking for it. You mean to tell me that its stress level under that condition is less than human beings on Earth? That is retarded to me. Totally retarded, but it's true, right? So it's a book called Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. You may want to check it out so you really understand what's going on here. So the experiences that we're having on a deeper level is not necessarily solely about the survival in the sense of go back into the situation so you can get out of it. No, it's for you to be able to recognize the experience and say, nah, I'm not going down that road, because you see certain, and that's just usually in the form of a relationship, you see the same character traits, body language, verbal cues, words, that mirrors an experience that you have already survived from. That particular point, it's like, nah, you don't have to do that. Because the hippocampus recorded the experience called memory. So now as your brain is constantly always processing things, you have a thorough understanding of what you experienced in the past. You see something that mirrors in the future. You no longer have to go down that road because it helps you make the proper decision. That's the realm of Bina, the realm of understanding. Because everything in below Bina really starts to talk about how things become into the realm of physical manifestation. So we left this sphere of expanding consciousness via the way of our sexual energy as a couple. But now we're going to get into the realm of understanding creation, because now we're really about to go into the invisible world when we finish this out with the last two spheres. Now, also, when you look at the Tree of Life, this, the path, because where we're going, we have sphere number three, which is the top sphere on the left-hand side, looks like it automatically balances the top sphere on the right-hand side. And this sphere we call, the key word over here is Ama, which means mother, right here. So this is a mother feminine principle. And then on the other side, number two is Abba, which is father. That's the sphere of the zodiac next week. You got to understand celestial science. That's what Bina is really telling you. It's telling you, if you really want to understand me, understand what precedes me, and you get a concept of what I'm about. You see what I'm saying? And vice versa, if we want to come down into incarnation, then we can look at the sphere that comes after, because it's just a manifestation. So the pathway that connects the third to the second is the pathway, it's called path 14, the 14th path, and it corresponds to the planet Venus, which is relationships again. And the Hebrew letter here is Dalet, but the whole concept that they're getting across to you here is to, you have to understand the concept of relationships on a higher level. This is the highest level. Because look at the horizontal pathways. There's only three horizontals. In truth, really, the letter system can be different because the three horizontal paths represent the three mother letters. And then your, what is it, seven diagonals. No, your 12 diagonals will represent the actual planet. So, but this is the most common system. But from this diagram, which is a very accurate diagram, I must say, we're really talking about how you bridge male and female energies as you go up the tree. So you want to look at the left and the right, the left and the right, and then the final left and the right. These represent different states of consciousness in male-female relationships. But also male-female relationships with the internal yin-yang energy inside of you. That's most important. Not necessarily, it can be male-female. When I say male-female relationships, I'm just simply talking about yin-yang. You see that in what we would call same-sex unions. It's still a yin-yang energy that's taking place. But most importantly, again, it's talking about these processes inside of you. Okay? So on the first level, down at the bottom, the first horizontal, when you connect 8 to 7, it's very interesting because this pathway is the tower. This is destruction. This is also symbolized by the planet Mars on this particular pathway. And this is your first level of trying to get together. But when you know what Mars is, you know that Mars is that raw sexual passion. Oftentimes relationships start because it's this intense energy and it's very passionate. And the passion is good. Mars is not necessarily mature enough to, by itself, to be the main indicator to lead to a successful relationship. There might be some great sex that's involved, but it's not necessarily enough to fulfill your soul, because everything is just an aspect of consciousness. The more aspects that you have in balance, the more whole and feel, more whole and complete that you feel. All right. So this particular level is a very passionate level, but it's also a level where a lot of people fail at. In fact, they can't even learn how to transmute the sexual energy to higher dimensions on this particular level. Thus, it's symbolized by the Tower card and the Tarot. But this is just the first level of experience of yin-yang energy. It's very passionate. The second level on path 19, when you connect 5 and 4, this becomes the middle chamber of the relationship and is symbolized by Leo. And Leo is the energy that deals with love and children, and it's more creative, and this is your God force right here. This is a beautiful relationship when you start to intertwine, and this is the pathway 5 and 4, when you take expansive sexual energy, where you take the dynamic, raw sexual energy of Mars, take on Mars again, in spirit number five now, you take this passionate energy and you expand it in your consciousness with spirit number four, which is just the higher centers of your brain. And remember, we talked about this because the Hebrew letter here is Teth, which it looks like a serpent. So the serpent, we know, is symbolic for sexual energy that sits at the base of the spine. And you have to learn how to not allow it to escape through the sexual organ and bring it all the way up your spine into your brain. And then, most importantly, circulate the energy all over again. Just keep going up and around your body, called the microcosmic orbit in the Tao. So we learn how to gather strength, because the tarot card here is strength. All right, the strength card pops up here. We learn how to gather strength once we take masculine yang energy and combine it with the feminine force, and we expand on it. Now where we at in this week, when we're looking at this last horizontal path at the top, which is Daleth, now we understand in that this is the realm where you get married, because this is the path of Venus. This is symbolized by the Empress, the woman who is the mother. All right, so this is where the women actually comes to authority. The crown is right here. So the Empress is the one that's symbolized as the mother. When you see that card pop up, you may be pregnant or something. You see what I'm saying? Because we know that Bina in spirit number three represents understanding, and this is the actual feminine component. All right? So this week, it's going to be about understanding, but I'm telling you, it's going to be about understanding what? Because we got to keep going. We got to understand the next sphere. The next sphere of consciousness is Chokhmah, called wisdom. This is what we call the sphere of the zodiac, Mazaluf. All right? The sphere of the zodiac. You got to understand the heavenly stars. Very important for your aspects of compatibility. So when we look at it in reverse, if the heavenly stars is right here, and then it's understanding, and then the light constricts and it becomes more to physical matter, and then it comes down into spirit number four and starts to trickle down into our reality. So the wisdom is in the stars of next week, and that's really what this understanding is talking about. Understand your life lessons, understand what things are at when you're born, but you got to get into the cosmos. So maybe next week, let me see how much time we got. And I'll walk you through the wheel. I'm a good time because I don't want to leave nobody hanging. Pull up your birth chart, and you want to look at Saturn. And you notice that there's houses. It looks like 12 slices of pizza. So it got 1 through 12 in the innermost part of the wheel. You look for the glyphs of Saturn, and you say, okay, I got Saturn in the first house, fifth house, second house. So we just roll through the houses real fast, because this is where you need to really grasp understanding and seek your balance in your life. This is where your success lies, but you have to dedicate yourself to it, all right? Saturn in the first house is a repression of yourself. You may be a late starter, not motivated to get that initial spark to get up and go get it done. Is lacking a little bit. That's a negative aspect of it. Something about you, you're not me. Because Saturn, it deals with stress and fear. So in the first house of our personality, we don't like ourselves in a sense. But if we turn that around and work the hot spot, because Saturn is the highest government official when it lands, that's Saturn. And I got here through hard work, you know. So then it's like, oh, my appearance is the bomb and I'm very successful. And I take action. I can't be lackadaisical with this. I have to work extremely hard in order to make things come into my favor for self. Saturn in the second house is the same principle. The same. Now, the principle just deals with money. This is the realm of finances. So money could be slow. Money could be hard to come by. Or you work your tail off, and then you start to have financial success. It's actually a millionaire's marker. Because you always have to be, because Saturn represents responsibility, and it tells you that you need to be responsible with finances. You have to learn financial responsibility, period, or you will feel like you are broke and be broke, all right? So you got some learning to do there. Trust me, I got that one, and I understand it perfectly from that dynamic, all right? When we move over into the third house, this is some type of restriction in communication. Don't speak much. Definitely could potentially be a conflict with authoritative figures through communication. but it also can make you an awesome communicator. You're like the elder voice. You're the chief voice. When you do speak, you speak very knowledgeable and with authority. So it's very well respected. This is a great, all placements are great places. This is pretty cool. All right. The fourth house is a parent. Oh, yeah, this is definitely a parent. It always manifests itself as a parent in your life because the fourth house is mommy and Saturn is usually daddy. So sometimes mommy takes on the role of daddy, and sometimes it's just this weird dynamic of karma that's going on with the parent. All right, dad or mom. So it's karma issues right here that need to be worked out with family members. But as it pertains to yourself, this can make you a very hard parent. You gotta be real careful with this because when you have this marker, you can continue that particular karmic expression through genetics where you have children and then they see you as being this hard ass and they feel like, you know, something about you that they just can't be real. People run from Saturn because Saturn is like a roadblock and it wants to restrict. They don't want you to go out and have fun type of thing. So here you got to watch how you parent, but it makes you a very successful parent. But understand it's a give and take relationship. Be hard, but also be yin. Show softness. All right. Have delicate balance because your energy can just really come off as you're too hard, too strict. All right. Fifth house is, this is children. When Saturn's in the fifth house, this could be a denial of children. People who got Capricorn on the fifth or Saturn in the fifth usually don't have children in a sense. So this is like access denied for you, buddy, you know, for some reason. But again, it also means you can have very successful children. When you do have children, it also represents, and Saturn represents old age, this could represent a time in your life that you will have children, you start to have children, your first child when you're 40-something years old, when you get older in life. You see what I'm saying? So Saturn represents maturity. You just wasn't necessarily mature enough, regardless of how you think of yourself. You just wasn't mature enough at that time for the gateway to open up for you to have children. Children can also be a source of stress for you and karma because that's the lower frequency of Saturn in the fifth, right? So they can either be success or they can be hard, but either or, it denotes that you have to work hard when they are around to set them up for success, and that can be very taxing for you, okay? The sixth house deals with health. Definitely pay attention to your health because Saturn, its energy in itself represents ill health to a degree. So to have it right here in this thing, you have to really, really, really be on your health vibe. And on a spiritual aspect, it'd be nice of you to, since Saturn works with karma, it'd be nice for you to ward that karma off by you volunteering your service to some type of elderly organization. So it's perfect for you to be a volunteer at a nursing home because Saturn is the elderly, the sixth house is health. You got bad karma. You made some decisions, you know, you want to do something good in life anyway. It shouldn't just be about eliminating the bad karma, but you really want to do something good. Saturn in the sixth denotes that you go help out the elderly people. It's pretty good. Or you can be some type of, you can do some type of charity for government, but it'd work better if you do it for elderly people that's in hospice or hospitals or nursing home type of settings. The seventh house is relationships. Relationships for you have to be all about success, hard work, and career orientated. And you know, there's a goal, damn it, and we're going to accomplish this goal because that's what Capricorn does. It's about setting up the goal and getting it done. And the lower frequency of that, then your relationships become karmic. You don't want to let them go. They become hard, and it just goes downhill from there, and it's just this battle of back and forth of stagnation. Because remember, Saturn don't want to move, so Saturn's energy is like you looking at a pond. They got all this scum and filth, and it's not flowing water. It's just stagnant water, you see. So this stagnation comes in the realm of your relationships, business partnerships, and close friendships, but more of an emphasis on relationships, which I must admit, Saturn is exalted in this area of space because this is the area of space that's naturally ruled by Libra, the justice scales. However, When Saturn's in the seventh house, it is the area of space that deals with this. So that means that when you were born, Saturn was in the western part of the sky. I keep telling y'all, the western part of the sky is the sky that deals with relationships. And this is why couples love watching the sunset, because this area of space harmonizes relationships. So when Saturn is here, it's definitely having more of an influence on your personal relationships. The eighth house, personal relationships too, because it takes it a little deeper in the eighth. The eighth is more about having sex and sharing your money. It's a little bit more contractual in a sense and whatnot. And so here, it's a lack of sex in your life. Could be this is a person who definitely can go, I ain't had sex in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. You know what I mean? I don't have sex at all no more. That's Saturn repressing sexual energy. It's also an energy where you are supposed to be highly responsible, obviously in a sexual arena, but highly responsible in how you handle your estate. This is when you die, you need to set up some things where your children can have some money. And this also indicates your father, more than likely, but it can be mom, like I said earlier. One of your parents or the authoritative figure in your life, someone who's older, can die and leave you money. But Saturn in the eighth, since Saturn represents restrictions, and in the eighth house represents inheritance, that means if somebody leaves you money, there can be some type of restriction to it. You may not find out about it until years later, or, you know, you change their name and the government don't recognize it. It's some type of delay. Whatever the case, just some type of delay for you to receive an inheritance or money that's not solely yours, because the eighth house is joint finances. It's other people's money. It's me. It's our money that's invested with another group of people, and it's time for you to get your payout. But this person is going through something, and, you know, and that's the required signature for. It's just some type of delay. So you want to make sure that all of your financial business, and when it comes to estates, other people's money, insurance policies, things like that, joint investments, everything is on the up and up. Highly successful, but there could be a delay, all right, or denial and whatnot. Ninth house education, higher education at that. This person probably don't even want to learn on a lower scale. You don't want to learn, okay? You just don't have an interest in it and whatnot. And on a more mundane level, it could be potential conflict with foreign people, foreign authorities. You know, this is the classic. What was the dude name who went over to Singapore and he stole something and they whipped him with the cane? You know, see, that's a classic conflict with foreign authorities. That's like Saturn and Sagittarius and Saturn in the ninth house. That's exactly what that looks like, all right? On a higher scale, you're very successful when you travel. You're kind of like a prime minister. You are some type of representative of the government, of your government, but to other foreign nations. You're the perfect representative to go to the UN and represent us. You have that kind of status about you. So you do want to learn, and that's very, very good. Saturn in the 10th has emphasis on a parent that will help you be successful in life. Authoritative figures also find you to be successful in life. But this is an energy, too, where you might come into success in the later years of your life. Something that you work very hard for, but you get your recognition later. But it also can represent a part of you, because since it comes later, it's kind of like in the earlier phases of life, you feel like you don't get your just due. You see what I'm saying? So that's Saturn in the 10th. It's big, big payoff. It's a government official as well. In the 11th, it's successful communications with friends, groups of people. This naturally rules this house as well. Technology, even. Our friends in authoritative positions. That's really what this is about. This is about you should seek friendships and associations with people who are in authoritative positions, because they would naturally take on to you easy. It's just something about them that they like you. All right. So that's that one. And the 12th, this is another one where it's like your hard work goes unnoticed. Saturn in the 12th, don't hustle. Don't do anything illegal. I don't recommend it, because the 12th house is the house of confinement, and Saturn represents government authoritative figures. So see how that can happen. But on the high side, this represents you have to work really, really hard to develop spirituality and get more into the what we call the mystical aspect of your mind. This may, because again, Saturn represents restriction, so it's like, well, I'm not necessarily motivated to get in this particular area of life, but it's absolutely mandatory that you get in this area of life, especially when it's the 12th house, because it's the final gateway. It seals the wheel up of creation. So the understanding that you must have here is an understanding of purity spirit, what motivates you on the spiritual level when you have Saturn in the 12th. Secret enemies are authoritative figures. I want to go back and look at this Nelly thing. It don't make sense to me. This is like a Saturn, Neptune thing. I know Juice said, tweeted him and said something about it, but I can see how that it just don't make sense to me. You know what I mean? And I hear the reports is X amount of people had that tour bus before they got on that bus. So pretty much somebody else left the stuff on the bus, the crystal meth, the pistols, or whatever the case may be, and whatnot. But that's how that worked. That's Saturn in the 12th, I mean, on the extreme worst side, is the government will be your secret enemy and put that dirt on you and take you down with it. That's what that is. You see what I'm saying? It's miscommunication to the utmost and just deceit. All right, it's just deceit. Hindsight, and it also represents, too, you got Saturn in the 12th, especially if it's afflicted. So when you're an astro and you got red lines going to Saturn in the 12th, you one of those people, you, my friend, you was a witch or something that dealt with, like, just serious deception. With Saturn in the 12th, it is utmost paramount that you understand that you are to be as truthful in this lifetime as possible and do not participate in no shamming. That is a no-no. There's no shamming for you. Don't do it. All right? Because that's just a horrible trait to have when you got Saturn in the 12th, and it will catch up with you in this lifetime. Nothing goes unchecked in this reality. Because we live in a world of cause and effect. All right? So that's Saturn through the 12th, man. That's Binah. That's coming into the aspect of understanding, but starting to understand and starting to strive for the cosmic principles, which we get into next week. Again, this is a cosmic couple right here. This is a divine marriage. So here we're saying that the woman, Binah, what we call in Islam, Umi, in Hebrew we say Amma, all right? The woman, you are to have understanding. The supernal father, you are to be a representation of the zodiac, bro. You are to understand that how does the celestial heavens have an effect on you. This is not that the celestial heavens is superior to you. The Zohar shows us and teaches that, you know, man, Abraham was this. Basically, Abraham had dominion over the stars. So when Abraham had to get Sarah pregnant, he thought he couldn't do it. Most High was like, man, go outside, man, count the stars, bro. If you can count them, count them. Because I'm going to make you greater than that. So he's telling you that in your conscious, man, you can be greater than that. And Joseph says even better. He's like, yo, hey, went to his brothers and they're like, yo, I had a dream that the 11 stars and the moon bowed down to me. And they said, this nigga is crazy. I know what we gonna do with him, since he's the one that's doing dream interpretation, and our father seemed to take a little bit more favor to him. We gonna try to kill this nigga. And so one of his brothers said, no, don't do that. And they got rid of him and they sent him off to bondage. All right, which is really a celestial story that's taking place. So my point is, it is alluded to that your consciousness is not dictated by a planet that's moving around you, per se. All right, depends where your awareness is at. It's all about your awareness. So the woman, we appeal to you to have understanding, because at this particular point, when you got understanding, you got understanding of a lot of stuff, meaning at spirit number 3, you understand everything that we covered in 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. If you're new to this show, go back, start from the beginning. The shows are numbered, tile number 1, number 2, number 3, and so forth. And walk up this tree of life and understand how the principles of male-female energies are to come together to become what we're going to discuss in Atlanta on 7-Eleven, the cosmic couple, the cosmic flame, that celestial being of light that you are together. All right? So visit us, myastrologycoach.com. Go to the events tab, man. Sign up, because when you sign up, like I said, you get the book free. All right, so go to the events tab. You're going to see it under the seminars and also under the, under the seminars and under, I put it under two places for you so you'll see it. So it's right there on the website under events. All right, you'll see the 7-Eleven stump off. Like I said, if you're not on the mailing list, join us on the mailing list, and you will see it right there on the front on myastrologycoach.com. Just put your email there, man. And we will see y'all next week, man. We'll see y'all next week. Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. If you didn't listen to last week's show on Friday, a couple days ago, check that out, man. Check that radio show out. Me and the Prime Minister was on there, and the Prime Minister went in, super in. So check out that radio show, man. If y'all got any questions and comments, trust me, we're going to open up the lines. In fact, we're going to do a special show. So when we finish out in the next 2 weeks, so 3 weeks from now, we're going to set the show for questions and answers dealing with this segment or anything that you want to have. We're going to have an open session, but we're going to set it for a Friday night joint where I know everybody is off work, because a lot of y'all come back to the archives and catch it when you get off. But, you know, we're going to set it up where it's more feasible for everybody when you're off work. And any questions that you have about this segment, any questions that you have, period, because that's pretty much the Spiritual Wisdom book is a book about some questions that was asked of us, and we just went in and just gave up what we know on it. So it's a phenomenal, phenomenal piece of work, man. So just stay tuned, because we are going to open up the lines in 3 more weeks dealing with anything that's on your mind. All right, so I get with you. Have a great day. Peace.